Luke 9, verse 30. Starting verse 20. Starting verse 28. I studied it, but this is about the transfiguration. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. When they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. It's interesting that in verse 30, when it says that they're talked with him, that it's just a normal word for having a conversation. If we were writing it, we would have had some extraordinary discussion about meaning of the word that they're talked, but they just talked. They're talked with him, Moses and Elijah. As we've talked about before, Moses represents the law and Elijah the prophets. And of all the things they talked and could have talked about, the only thing they talked about was his death, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. We can't imagine the temptation of Christ to stay there. And let's look at it one more time in Hebrews. I don't know what, Hebrews 4 or Hebrews 12, I'm not sure which one. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also surrounded or compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Note, remember, ours in italics. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And you should mark in your Bible who for is not our word for for. It's hooper, and it means instead of the joy that was set before him at this Mount of Transfiguration, when all his suffering and all his temptation were past. And instead of that joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. We can't imagine the temptation that he experienced to stay there. But anyway, Moses is Moshe, and it means drawn from water. And Elijah is just, it's in the Greek spelling is Elias, but it's Elijah. In the Hebrew, it's my God is Yahweh. And the word appeared is aptanomai, which means allowed to be seen. So we're going back to Luke. I'm sorry. There talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at the ice machine. I don't know if you remember when we studied the word glory. Glory is the word doxa in Greek. It just means to be of opinion. And that seems like a strange word for glory, to be of opinion. We would like it to mean some stupendous, marvelous, wonderful word. But it means to be of opinion.
Sorry, I'm late. I'm in the bathroom.
Now, how could glory mean to be of opinion? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, or chapter 5. Verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Beside ourselves, remember, means insane. Whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. The Bible defines anything other than other-directed is insane. From God's standpoint, if you have one idea, one concern for yourself, from God's standpoint, you're insane. Because you've denied everything. If you're beside yourself, but if you can hear this, then you find out, if I'm beside myself, if I'm insane for any reason, it is to God. If I'm sober, it's for your cause, or for your sake. Now the classic issue of this was this Romanian pastor in prison in the Soviet Union. And he thought he was going crazy, because he was... his mind was going everywhere from lack of food and water. And he wrote this prayer. He was keeping a journal of some kind. Probably those journals were kept on toilet paper. And he said, if I am crazy, I'm God's crazy. And that settled it. Because everything about his life was transferred to God. And that's so critical in terms of how you walk and what you believe and what you think. You must recognize that if you're in any other position other than other-directed, you're insane. The minute you're concerned with yourself for any reason, you're insane. Now, the world would call not being concerned with yourself insane. Do you see this?
Yeah.
All right. That's not what we're studying. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now that's a pretty intense. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. Everybody understand what that means?
I see that with our opinion, we have our opinions about each other, and when we let those go, we don't.
No. We're not talking about opinions yet. We're talking about what does it mean to know, not know Christ after the flesh.
Oh yeah, I've heard that a lot, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
Not know Christ after the flesh. That would be, well, I'll take a guess. That would be a state of where you abandon yourself completely if you don't know him after the flesh. I could be totally wrong.
More than likely you.
A very good friend of ours that Pete knew well. His name was John Garlock. He was the dean of students at Christ for the Nations. And every time Mrs. Lindsay was gone out of town, then he'd invite me to speak to the student body. But I was listening to him on a talk show, and he said that Jesus Christ was his role model. And I was so offended by that I called, and he knew it was me. And I said, how's that working out for you? How is Jesus Christ, how about, I know him well, but for a minute, part of the time I was homeless, I lived with him. And I said, how is it working out about if any man hate not his mother and his wife and brother and children and his own life also, he can't be his disciple. How's that working out for you? And have you raised anybody from the dead lately? Christ can't be a role model. If he is your role model, you'll quickly find out that he can't be. He's not a role model. He has to be your life. But once, if we know him after the flesh, then subconsciously we'll try to make him our role model, and we'll ignore the parts that but we know him not after the flesh, because we know nothing after the flesh. And that's where we're going to get to this glory here in a minute. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That doesn't mean an improved Pete or an improved Ronnie. It means he is a new creature that never existed before. He is a new class, a new order, new genus. So that Christ becomes his only self. It's Christ in you, the only hope of glory. And then it says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. And the reason that glory means to be of opinion is because as you see slowly but surely everything is of God, then you see his glory everywhere. Wherever you look, you see the perfection of his holiness. And that's why glory is the word doxa, to be of an opinion. Anybody understand that a little bit?
It seems like I can understand a little bit.
All right. It says we see Christ as all and in all. We see God as all and in all. If we see that as all and in all, then all is of the glory of God. We see the perfection of His holiness wherever we look. We see it's finished wherever we look. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen very often. All right, back to Luke. Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And the way, the word for decease is Exodus. And it's interesting that Exodus is a Hebrew word, but Exodus is two words in Greek, ex and hodos. I don't think that's an accident. Exodus, Greek, the passing over. Exodus, Greek, I mean Hebrew, the passing over. Exodus, Greek, ex hodos. Out of the way, or leaving. So hodos is the way, ex hodos. Anyway, that's fascinating to me. But let's look at a couple of them. See where else it's used. Go to Hebrews 11. This is one of many, but let's just go to start in verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure and a type. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. When he died is Exodus. Let's go one more. 2 Peter.
Is that before and after?
Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, my exodus, to have things always in remembrance. Remember that the scriptures are clear. It says that judgment must first begin at the house of God. That's why believers, the predicate of Christianity is your exodus, your death from the world system and from Babylon. And that your exodus happens before your physicality of your death, because that's the way it has to be. So you have an exodus when you reckon yourself crucified, you mortify the flesh, and then you have a exodus again, which is the second death. Amen? So when you study the exodus at Passover, Who died? You did. The Pharaoh who died looked a lot like me. I mean, actually looked a lot like Ronnie. That's why Ronnie's our role model.
He must be feeling there.
No, I'm not. All right, back to Luke. The Exodus, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Jerusalem, shalom. It means literally the teaching of peace. Let's look and see how stupid we are. Should we look and see how stupid we are?
What does it say that about the Exodus and peace, or teaching of peace?
That's the meaning of Jerusalem.
That's the meaning of Jerusalem. Okay.
Jerusalem.
Oh, I see.
Teaching of peace. Go to Hebrews, back to Hebrews 12. Well, we were at Hebrews 11, now we'll go to Hebrews 12.
I've seen it too many times before.
What was that?
I don't think this is necessary.
I have no idea what you just said.
I know. Hebrews.
Well, let's start in Hebrews 11. Talking about all of the heroes of faith. And it says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, whereby God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, even here, all of these folks, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Abel, Noah, Enoch, they all saw that the Jerusalem that then was, or that would be, was simply a parable for the heavenly Jerusalem. And they saw it so clear that they endured everything. Isaac endured being sawed in half. All he would have had to have said was that Jerusalem that now is the true Jerusalem.
Did you say Isaac? You mean Isaiah, right?
I mean Isaiah, I'm sorry. All right, let's go over to Hebrews 12 now in verse. Verse 18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was that sight, or the sight, that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which were written in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away him from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. And yet this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and fear, for our God is a consuming fire. This is why the preaching of the cross is so important. Because the preaching, not about the cross that he died on, but the preaching the cross that you died on, is that it shakes every other thing that exists in your life. And it's supposed to. Because if anything that can be shaken, then it can't be real. All right, let's look at a couple more. Revelation chapter 3. This is to the church at Philadelphia, starting in chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And one more in Revelation 20, 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There's at least... Well, there's several. I can't remember them. I didn't write them down, but especially in the prophets, there are many references that state clearly that the Jerusalem that then was or now is was only a parable for the new Jerusalem. And yet, there's a whole slew of people that believe that that's the Jerusalem, that that's the holy city, that that's that Israel is holy, is the holy land. And that's, wars are fought. Millions of people have been killed because they believe that as the holy land. And it's just sad. That's enough. Anybody have any response to anything? Take it, big guy.